Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Whiskey One Tap Podcast. I am your host, Whiskey, and joining with me today are my co-hosts, Mikey.
Hello.
Uni.
Hi.
And Monster.
Mm.
He's eating a cookie right now. But if you enjoy our content and like what we do, please head on over to our Instagram page at Whiskey One Tap, where you'll find updates on the podcast as well as what we're doing in our personal lives. So if you enjoy that type of stuff, go head on over. Now this podcast is, strange enough, sponsored by, a pretty decently sized company called Raise Energy. And if you like energy drinks, this is a bit different. They don't have any sugar, and no crash, so you don't have to worry about, like, waking up and feeling very tired or anything. Now they also have really crazy flavors, like Sour Gummy Worms, Galaxy Burst, as well as their new Voodoo flavor, and then they have Baja Lime, which is pretty good, and a whole mess of other flavors. So if you like this that type of stuff, go check them out. Yeah, I would have a can myself, and I'd be drinking as well, but my brother actually stole some, and he's trying to go out looking for more now, because apparently
what
it's
do you mean
that
looking
good.
For more? Yeah. For more? He literally just came in your room. Told you to
well,
get
yeah,
some
I just go
send,
I sent him out
away.
To go buy me more because he drank mine. I was going to drink some on the podcast, but no. Fuckers
we
got
were trying to
some.
Sip some. Me and
Whiskey
were
talking blame it on the brother, James. Blame it on the
by
brother.
By the way, can I just take a moment to say that, you know, we're talking about this really, really, well, you know, healthy energy drink, right, to keep you awake during the day and stuff, and I'm over here eating a whole pie by myself.
I want to have a pie.
You don't get a pie.
Oh, me and Whiskey were
yes.
talking about like shipping some of the energy drink to me to South Africa, so
it's
I can
gonna
taste
be
it as
difficult.
Well, like, on the podcast. It costs $100 to ship it here. Like, the package itself is $20, but just shipping it to South Africa is $100. And I agreed with him that I was gonna pay for the shipping costs. And yeah, as soon as he mentioned that, I was like, "Fuck that."
Yeah,
man.
Well, I'll definitely have to work
drinking,
out.
I'm drinking milk on the podcast right now. So Raise, motherfuckers, if you guys want to take the sponsorships seriously, come over to South Africa and send me a package, and I will drink it on the podcast, and I will suck the your company's dick so hard. Send
well,
some to me, please.
It's always sucking somebody's dick with you.
So professional,
dude.
Monster,
dude,
do you have something
listen.
To tell us? It's okay, we're there for you.
I am gay for Raise Energy. There we go.
We are.
I approve this
so fucked.
Monster approved this message.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I am
Lord.
Drinking milk right now, and I would so prefer if this was a can of Raise.
It you know Jesus with Christ. With Raise Energy as well, it really does help with because the whole I guess gimmick or idea of this energy drink, given that it has no sugar, is that you know, has, I guess, certain, I don't know, I think vitamins or some sort of stimulus that to help you focus with gaming and such. And it really has very positive reviews, and they just got done with a contest called Clash of the Cans. And that's basically a whole lineup of all these energy drinks to see who will win the World Cup for the best energy drink. And they've overcome people like C4, Bang Energy, and Monster. Energy drinks, and they unfortunately didn't get the prize this year, and they've only been an active company for 2 years in a row, and they're already overpowering big companies like Monster and such. So definitely go check them out at repsports.com and get yourself a can of Raise. That's R-A-Z-E energy .com, or you can go to repsports, R-E-P-P sports.com. Other than that,
yeah, I know this is really off topic, but I really need to wash my mask because I fell asleep with it in my bed, and now it just smells like feet, and that's what I have to wear on my face all day.
Why does it smell like? Well, why does it smell like feet?
Because I fell asleep with it at the end of my bed, and I guess I was just rolling around with it on my foot for a while.
Huh. I don't have a mask. I'm American.
You're breaking code.
Shut
I don't
up,
give
James.
A damn about my code.
Do you want some mask? I can make some for you. This one has
no.
owls on
no.
it.
No!
I don't have a mask. I'm American.
Shut the fuck up.
Stupid thing.
Oh my goodness. Oh, actually, you
Americans
know
don't
what?
follow protocol.
Speaking of mask, right? I have to wear that at my job all the time. And they just recently, the company that just recently gave us two masks each as part of our uniform. They hurt my nose so bad.
Yeah, same with mine, and I just use the basic, fucking cloth
Even because
looking.
like there's a piece of metal on the nose thing, but I broke my nose like three
Yeah.
times and I have a big bump, and it's that on top of like wearing glasses that I'm supposed to have that. So I can't see shit. My nose hurts and it's hot as all hell because it's like it has fucking cotton inside of it.
Yep.
Oh no.
So I just wear my pink owl one. This
Yeah,
is
no,
so
with my
fancy.
second job, I had a really difficult time wearing masks because I wear the glasses, I have to wear the hat, I have to wear a headset, I have to wear the mask. I have to wear like all these things, and it really strains my fucking ears. On top of the fact that it's difficult to breathe at times, and it's like this really sucks.
There's something online that you can get though that's it's basically like just a little piece of plastic or something that you put like on your mouth or like around your mouth, and then you put the mask on top of it, and it's supposed to give you more breathing room in it. I
Damn.
don't know how well that would work. I feel like
I
when you
just.
take it off, it would be like goggles after you come out of the pool and you just have like a red circle around.
I just want to. If I'm gonna wear a mask, I want to wear like a Spec Ops gas mask.
Oh,
Like that, like that SAS Special Forces fucking gas masks.
yes. Oh,
How would.
speaking of gas masks, I have a story that was shared in the Discord that I'm in.
Sure.
And I know I'm taking up a lot of speaking room. I swear, and I promise I'll shut up after this story. I was wheezing. I felt like I was growing abs. It was the best thing ever when I read
Oh,
it. And I want to share it, and it's not that long.
you're good. You barely talk in some of the other episodes, but that's fine.
Yeah, I'm quiet as fuck. Hello, guys. I am awake. For
You're
once.
ready for it. She's ready for this shit.
Yeah, I have
She's
3 days off.
ready.
That's why I'm overly excited.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, right. It's titled "A Story About My Emergency Gear," and this is just like this guy that shared it in like a Discord for one of the games that I play. And anyways, it says, "Okay, so I was going through my oh shit sack and decided to check the seal on my gas mask. Sliding it on, everything fit tight and was all sealed up. Only issue was a blockage in the nose shroud. Blocking the exit port with my hand, I blew as hard as I could, and like a genie from a bottle, a wolf spider that was approximately half the size of a Volkswagen Beetle, fuck, I can't say that word, popped out of nowhere and attached himself to my face like an amorous face hugger from the Aliens
Oh,
franchise.
God.
It was at this point that I discovered that a good seal on a gas mask can only be achieved by locking it to your face in a manner only slightly less complex than a shibiri bondage dress.
Me look
The
that
spider, we shall henceforth describe him as the bastard,
up. The best.
seemed to have decided that he was going to make the best of a bad situation and began his morning calisthenics by galloping laps the inside of the mask. And while I am a supporter of solid cardiovascular exercise regimen, I must admit that the bastard could have probably waited a picosecond to start while I was busy trashing about in a life and death struggle with an M61 mask that had somehow formed an unbreakable seal around my head that would require amputation to remove. There was serious consideration of that option, to that sometimes, during the 10th century of my eternal struggle, that was approximately the same time that the bastard had decided that he had gotten his heart rate into a nice range and set about in what I can only describe as an amateur version of an Indiana Jones reenactment as he began trying to find some dark hole or cave to explore. It was at this point, as his leading legs began to probe my sinus cavity, that I was overcome with the brilliant idea of Ulk Smash. While not the most profound idea in existence, I can admit that I learned several things that day. Firstly, there are many ways to smash your face while wearing gas mask. Secondly, that headbutting the desk is not the best option. And finally, that the bastard wasn't only a female, but it was also a mother.
Oh no. Oh no.
As such, during her escapades so far, I had been far too focused to note the billions of microscopic babies that had been clinging to her back during this whole adventure. And while I applaud a young mother just trying her best, I feel it was wrong to try and bring her kids to work that day. Needless to say, I did in fact smash my face against the desk, squishing her against my face, which is not in my top 10 best experiences I've had, thank you very much. Little did I know that her children would take that as a sign that it was time for them to strike out on their own. They exploded off her like shrapnel from a grenade, filling every inch of available space with billions upon billions of spiders. At this point, I was blessed with the strength of 10,000 men and ripped the gas mask off my face, snapping the restraining straps and launching the offending article of safety equipment on a ballistic trajectory towards the living room, as I ran screaming from the house. Diving into the kiddie pool outside with all the grace and poise of a belly-flopping walrus, as I held my head underwater and screamed at a volume that had whales the world over glancing around in confusion. The end.
What the fuck did I just listen to?
Wait, who posted that story?
It's like this dude on Discord. It was so fucking funny.
You know what?
Shout out to dude on Discord. That was good. That was good writing.
Right?
He's a good writer. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Right. That was good.
The next time you do one of these, I'm just gonna put some old classic music on top of my voice saying, "Story time with Uni."
Bruh, I've got another joke. I've got another story. Well, this one was a real story, by the way.
Okay.
The other one is just a joke, but I could say it later.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's really fucking funny. I don't know. It made me laugh.
Don't blame me. That
funny. Quick question. What do you guys think of... moving on to another topic. What do you guys think of the new consoles? PlayStation 5 and Xbox.
Oh, well. You see, that is something I'm kind of... Because I'm really tired of the PlayStation 4 at this point. The amount of times that it crashes and it's not a good time anymore. And it's so... my main complaint about the PlayStation 4 right now is how loud it is. I got really good headsets, like a really good headset recently. It's like noise cancelling and all that shit. And when I take it off, when someone talks to me in my room, I can't hear them because this fucking jet engine right next to me is just spinning. And I, like, it's not for, like, you can't do anything with this thing. It just takes all sound and fucks everything up. Like, I don't enjoy it. So I
can hear it right
I
now.
Would like... Yeah, like, I went into the messages section of the PlayStation, and this is how loud it is right now. Like, I need to move back so it doesn't annoy everyone. Good God. So I would really like to get a PlayStation 5. I would really like to get a PlayStation 5. Yeah. Like, I would really like to get a PlayStation 5 just so I could message people without having a turbine engine in my room. That would be very nice.
But do you think that it wouldn't make noise? Like with a PlayStation 5, I mean.
Well, the reason why the PlayStation 5 is so loud, well, PlayStation 4 is so loud, is because it can't handle a lot of stuff. You know, its CPU, it's old, like it was released back in 2014. I have the original, I don't have the Pro. So it can't really handle a lot of stuff. Whereas with a PlayStation 5, I'm hoping at least that its cooling would be better and they wouldn't need such a loud-ass fan to keep everything cool, and it wouldn't get that hot in the first place because the CPU would be better and it would be able to handle all the shit that you throw at it without heating up too much.
That makes sense.
I honestly don't know. I think I'm gonna, for me, from what I've seen, like, it sounds like it's a good deal, but I think I'm gonna wait a little bit before I get one. Especially, like, because it's supposed to come out on Christmas, or, like, on November or so. But, and I was thinking about going out and maybe pre-ordering it, so I can just have it whenever it comes out in November. But I honestly feel like I'm just gonna wait it out a bit, because I don't think there's a lot of people. First, I don't think there's gonna be a lot of people that's gonna have it when it comes out. So it's honestly, it would be kind of a waste to kind of buy it right now.
You'd be surprised.
I don't know, because I really doubt, I don't have any friends that I know for a fact that are gonna get it whenever it comes out.
I mean, the good thing for you is you have PlayStation Plus, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so they made this deal thing. I can't remember what it was specifically, but if you have PlayStation Plus, when the PlayStation 5 releases, you'll get a bunch of games. Like, I think it was like 4 games with the PlayStation 5 for free if you have PlayStation Plus. Like, it's going to be this mega, like, bundle type of thing.
Yeah, and it's pretty good. It's just like, again, I said, most of the games I play with my friends. So,
I mean,
you know,
yeah, because you'd be able to talk to your friends, I believe. I'm not sure about this, but I would at least hope that you would be able to invite your PlayStation 4 friends to parties and talk to them. But as for playing games with them, obviously you won't be able to do that. So,
and that's why, you know, that's why I'd rather wait for a second, because I don't know, I don't want to take that risk, because then I just have a console that's kind of useless for me at the moment.
I think
maybe
the biggest.
Useless, but it's like, I don't know.
I think the biggest thing that people should do is, like, wait a while until you get a new console, because, you know, there was multiple, like, YouTube videos and posts on social media and such when the PS4 was launched about a hell of a lot of them. Like, millions of PlayStation 4s were defective on launch. They had a shitload of glitches and everything, and they wasted... They had to put down a lot of money to get those things fixed and shit. And I'm like, damn. Like, and that's one of the reasons why I didn't get it at launch. I had to wait. I was going to wait a while for that. Because the PlayStation 3 did the same thing. And, you know, same with the Switch as well. Like, I think 3 years ago. So, you definitely have to, you know, be careful when...
Oh, the Switch came out 3 years ago?
Yeah, it's been a long while.
What? I thought...
Damn, man.
Damn. I didn't think it's been that long.
Oh, yeah. I still have my old PlayStation Portable.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
The PSP was the shit back in the day.
It really was. Like, I even got, like, a downloaded game, like, that people made themselves. Not, like, an official, like, developer game or whatnot. But I got Nazi Zombies Portable on it. And the graphics are garbage, but, like, and there are some bugs on the version that I have, but either way, that's a fun ass game.
Yeah,
I'll buy the PSP for $10 from
you. No, funny enough, I've actually sold my PSP that I have now to one of my friends back in middle school, and then I missed it so much, so I bought it off of him again. For, like, almost double what I sold it to him for. Because I really, like, really liked the idea of a portable, you know, video game thing, I guess. I don't know.
You mean like the Nintendo Switch?
I never got a Nintendo Switch. I never got, like, a Nintendo DS or 3DS or anything. It was all PlayStation for me. But,
That's where you went wrong, sir.
Fine, you can shit on me all you want. I don't give a fuck.
I mean, okay, one thing I am conflicted on, though, is... And one thing that's really cool is Witcher 3. I love that game so fucking much. And they say that they're going to release a... Sort of like a remastered version of it for PlayStation 5. You know, all the new consoles. And obviously PC as well.
Yeah.
And it's going to be free. Like, if you have The Witcher 3 on the PlayStation 4, you can get it for free on the PlayStation 5. I don't know when they're going to release it, but that is something I'm really looking forward to. Apparently, some people have been saying that you'll be able to get extra content from the game, like stuff they left out when they released the original game, and stuff like that, and I would love to experience something new in that game. Mm-hmm. So that is one of the reasons that I would want a PlayStation, because I've already got The Witcher 3 on PlayStation 4, and I don't want to buy it all over again on PC. I could just, when I get the PlayStation 5, get it for free. Get the upgrade for free.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense. I don't know. I got, like, the PS4 to play, like, The Last of Us 2.
Oh, God.
And I think, because... Just shut up. And, I think, like, at some point, there was a rumor, like, a while after I got the PS4, it said that The Last of Us 2 might come out on the PS5 instead. And I remember being so fucking salty about that.
Right.
You know, at this point, I kind of wish that it was released for the PlayStation 5, just so we could delay the disappointment. Okay, I mean, like, we've spoken about The Last of Us 2 for a bit, like, on previous episodes and such. And Mikey, like, I mean, I wouldn't say we hated it, we enjoyed it to a certain extent.
I haven't played it yet.
Oh, no. You're not missing much.
You are. You're missing a lot. It's a great game.
Somebody dies, and I don't want to do any spoilers, but when I heard that, I got pretty salty.
Just let your imagine take you on a little...
You're giving spoilers.
I'm not giving any spoilers. I'm just saying, let your imagination go wild of who you think it might be.
Batman dies.
I already know.
That's who dies.
Okay.
I just
don't want to say it for the people on the podcast. Okay. Might not.
Yeah, it's Batman.
I'm sure over, like, what, this game's been out for a couple months now? Like, yeah. People should know by now with all the spoilers. And,
like, it's not needed, yeah.
But, like, that's...
That everyone knows who that
but, like,
is.
Could you say spoilers on a game or a movie that was, like, years ago? Like, surely we can do that.
I mean, yeah, because remember when I was talking about Black Ops? Like, I didn't feel guilty about basically, like, spoiling the whole fucking story. It's a game that released back in 2010.
Yeah.
Like, if you... I'm sorry, but you're not gonna... like, there is a point.
Or the old Jurassic Park movies.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
oh, like this person dies.
Wars?
It's like, you spoiler. You're just fucking spoiling the movie. I'm like, well, first off, it was released in what, the early 2000s or something? If you haven't watched it at that point, then...
I'd say if it released, like, 10 years ago, you should not feel guilty about spoiling that.
Yeah.
I think that should be the buffer year where you sort of feel comfortable with it. But... Oh, yes. Okay. One thing I am looking forward to is Cyberpunk 2077, because I think it's going to be the first game that I'm going to buy on my PC. And I'm not going to pre-order it because it might be shit. Like, I'm not going to get overhyped and be like, "Oh, the best thing ever." Like, I'm willing, like, that a part of my brain is willing to accept that the game might be complete dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
But if it isn't, and I'm pretty sure it won't be, then I'm gonna buy it, like, as soon as the good reviews come out, if they are good, I'm gonna buy it immediately. I'm so fucking hyped for that.
Yeah. You know, I've never really ever pre-ordered any game in my life, except for The Division, actually. The first Division was the only game that I ever pre-ordered. And that was when, that was March 8th, 2016, and that's when I first got my PlayStation 4 as well. And, I had so much fun with that. Like, it started off really good, and then it just fucking flopped. They added, you know, gear set items and shit, a whole gear score, and it was just like, why? Because, like, then you have people running around the Dark Zone, which can either one-tap you immediately, or... you could have people that tank so many fucking, like a bullet sponge. And that was so annoying.
Yeah.
And the only thing that people had to combat with that, and I was loving it so much in the early days of Division 1. They had these explosive rounds that you could use with your gun. And they had, like, incendiary bullets and everything. I was the main guy that used explosive rounds with a bolt-action sniper. It was one of the best... sniper rifles in the game. I think it was the M700 carbine. I used that shit. So anytime I'd find, like, a group of rogue players out in the distance, I'd, like, I'd see all these other players moving towards them, trying to go for them, and I'm out there in the background on top of a rooftop or something. I just load up the explosive rounds, boom, one down, boom, the other down, boom, three down, and then it's like, it was so easy for me, and I was like, this is really cool. And then they took that away, and I'm like, fuck. Mm. Now it's very difficult to combat it just being a solo player, because that's mainly what I am.
Yeah, I've heard like bad things about The Division. My luck with pre-ordering has been terrible, because the first game that I pre-ordered was No Man's Sky. I bought into the hype of the game, and when it released, it was so shit. And the reason why that was such an unlucky pre-order is because for those who did pre-order, there was this glitch. Because when you pre-order, you get a ship, like a custom ship that you can redeem as soon as you open the game. So you start with that ship pretty much.
Yeah.
And that ship already had a fixed hyperdrive, where with the ship that you start with normally, you have to fix the hyperdrive so you can get out of the star system. But because mine was already fixed, because it was a shiny pre-order one, I didn't have to worry about that. The thing is, the fucks that made the game, Hello Games, they forgot to say, oh yeah, if your hyperdrive is already fixed, you can leave. So I was stuck in the same star system because I hadn't fixed my hyperdrive, because it was already fixed in the first place. But the game didn't recognize that. They were still waiting on me to fix my hyperdrive. It was so horrible. So I couldn't leave the star system. I was stuck. I couldn't progress at all. If I didn't pre-order the game, I wouldn't have that issue. Like, it was the worst possible pre-order for me, and it was my first game that I ever did. And then after that, I pre-ordered Battlefield 1, and I wasn't disappointed. Battlefield 1 is an amazing game.
Oh, yeah. One
of the first games I ever pre-ordered was Little Big Planet 3.
That was a good game.
It was fun, yeah. It's a
I never
game,
played
but
it, but I've heard good things.
Hey, man. You can't ever go wrong with it, with Sackboy.
The only...
Yeah, you can never go wrong with Sackboy.
Right. You know, I haven't really...
Little Big Planet 1 and 2 are the best, though.
They are. They really are, though.
Played the shit out of Little Big Planet 2.
I did, too. I used to play them all the time with my friends, like, online and shit. I would play a lot of the Wipeout versions of Little Big Planet, just playing Wipeout all the time.
Yeah.
Those were the funnest ones.
I think one game that I probably should have pre-ordered was COD Modern Warfare. Because that game is sick as fuck. You know, the...
That's amazing.
I mainly, when I was working at Taco Bell at the time, we went out and, like, very late at night, like, 3 a.m. is when we, like, closed, because we were, like, a bunch of late shifters, and everything. You know, we set out to go to Walmart and get on, and it was the day of release, too, for Call of Duty Modern Warfare, and so we went out 3 in the morning, went to the entertainment area and got, like, all 4 of us, it was me, my friend Mikey, and Andrew, and we all went out to get COD Modern Warfare, and then we found out that if you buy, like, 3 things of Totina's pizza rolls or something, that you got, like, a really cool in-game watch and charm. So we ended up going and getting a bunch of boxes of Totino's pizza boxes and pizza rolls and everything, and we loaded up with like 12 boxes each, because you had to have like 3 boxes, so like one box would get you something each, so like one box would get you like a calling card, one would get you a watch, and one would get you a charm, so we had to get all 3 of us each, and then we split it up between all of us, and we were just, it was the coolest fucking thing. So we got out of there, and they're like, people started looking at us, like, are you going to have, like, a bit of a gaming night? And he's like, fuck yes, we are. So we stayed up that entire morning eating Totino's pizza rolls and pizza boxes. And, you know, we got the charms and everything. And it was, like, we felt really good about ourselves. But we wasted, like $100 or $200 or, like, $150 in all. Just to get all that stuff. But we had a good ass night, I will say. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's memories.
I think, yeah, here, I'll post some of the pictures on the Discord, but
right.
No, it's just funny as shit.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, one, like, I've already said a million times, I'm a really big fan of The Witcher. Like, The Witcher 3, specifically. My favorite game of all time. And what I've been wanting to do for a while now is read all the books that the games are based on, and then watch people play The Witcher 1 and 2, because I can't play it, because they were all released on PlayStation 2 and, you know, PC. I guess I can play it on my PC. And, maybe not. I don't know. They're very old, so it's going to be clunky and annoying. So I might just watch YouTube videos about people playing them. And then I'm going to replay The Witcher 3 on the hardest difficulty so I can get the trophy for it. Because I played it on the second hardest difficulty my first time, and I finished it that way. But I want to play it on Deathmarch, which I've heard people say that the game on Deathmarch is basically like Dark Souls, which I'm not looking forward to, but I'm going to do it for the trophy. That's how much I love the game. I'm willing to do that, and it's something I'm looking forward to. Have you guys watched The Witcher series on Netflix?
I have not. I haven't
played the game or watched the series or anything related to The Witcher, man.
That's interesting.
So fucking good.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't...
I just never gotten into it.
Yeah, I mean, the series, it really... It goes far away from the books. Like, it doesn't have a lot in common with the books. It has the same basic stories, but they change it up a lot. And I don't really like the series because there are some things about it that just annoy me. Like, it's way too... like cliche sometimes, where The Witcher itself, like the books and everything, was the total opposite of your typical fantasy fairy tale type of thing. So they kind of went with some tropes in the series that the books weren't for at all, in my opinion at least. But it's still okay for anyone that's not into it, but I think if you know something about the books or you've read them, you wouldn't enjoy it. But for people that haven't, then yeah, I think you'd enjoy it. It has titties and sex and ass and all that, so.
What is there not to love about it?
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Everything.
Sign me up.
Sign me up instantly. It sounds really like your kind of game, James. Go have at it, buddy.
No, shut up.
Am I wrong?
Maybe. But moving on, I don't think I'm going to get a PlayStation 5 back to the console war thing. Yeah, I'm going to get a PC. I really have a liking to, and I think I said this on the second episode as well. I like the realistic simulator type of video games, like Escape from Tarkov, the Arma series. DayZ, of course, because DayZ on PS4, it is shit. I'm sorry.
It's cuck. Yeah, it's so horrible.
DayZ devs, I applaud you for the game on PC, but some games that belong on PC only, and DayZ is one of them.
No, but the reason it's so good on PC is because the modding community came in and fixed all the shit that the devs.
Oh, they really did, dude.
Yeah, it was not the devs at all. The devs have given up on the game. They're a bunch of cunts.
It took them like 5 years to finally get it down.
Yeah, and it still has major fuck-ups. Like, it's still unplayable on PC if you don't have mods.
Right.
But, like if I didn't have a PC already, I would definitely have gone for a PC instead of a PlayStation 5.
Mm-hmm. I might, in the future, just sell my PlayStation and go to PC.
Yeah. Because, when I'm on my PC, I can have Spotify open, I can go on Discord and talk with people, I can watch YouTube, I can, use my...
No subscriptions to play online.
Yeah, I can play, I can use my 3D modeling software, all of that at the same time without having to worry about anything breaking. Meanwhile, my PlayStation 4, I go on... And I can't message people and use Spotify at the same time, otherwise the PlayStation fucking crashes. Like, it's... Such a fucking...
I mean, like, I have a MacBook Pro, and I mainly use that for editing work and video tools and a lot of stuff like that. But I got curious. I downloaded Steam on my MacBook. And there are actually a pretty decent handful of games that I can play on Mac. Are you guys familiar with the Metro series?
I can play
Metro. I started playing Metro on the MacBook, and it was laggy as shit, but it was kind of fun. Yeah. People are disgusted with me right now, but
yeah, I am disgusting.
I mean, yeah, like, and I got a good PC because I got an amazing price for the stuff. Like, I've only got a certain amount of money that I can use that I've saved pretty much, and I got a good price for many things. So I've got a pretty damn good PC for a really good price, so I can play Metro and all those stuff. I just need to get the money to play those because I don't want to use the money that I have saved for games. It's sort of unnecessary. Like, once I start making my own money, I'll start buying games on the PC. But all I have now is Ark, and the reason I have Ark on the PC is because it was free on, I think it was Epic Games Launcher, either Epic Games or Steam. It was free on one of those. And CSGO as well. CSGO is a free game, by the way. It's always been free. I thought you would have to pay money for it.
Oh, it used to cost money. I had to pay money for it. But they added a Battle Royale mode to it. And I think once they made it free and everything, people started getting a lot more hacking accounts and shit for it. So that's, unfortunately, one of the big downsides to it. But I think they, for the most part, have covered that. I haven't heard from CSGO in a long-ass time, but, you know, it's still kicking on Twitch. Yeah. It's, like, in the top 10 still, I think.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good game for when you just want to talk shit and have a good time.
It's very competitive, too. Like, I think Rainbow Six Siege is overpowering them now. I wish I had time to go on Siege. It's just me playing it for a long-ass time. I played that game since Dustline, and I really fucking enjoyed that game so much. But you know, it's just for playing it for so many years, like 4 years, I think, not by now. I'm now a 300-hour Monty main. I've went into Go 4 ESL tournaments with Mikey and a couple of our other buds. And I've been to the invitationals in Montreal. It's like I've done essentially everything with Rainbow Six Siege. That is just I'm done with that phase now, unfortunately. But it was a really good game, and I really enjoyed the community. I really enjoyed you know, all the stuff that they added into the game, all the bug fixes, all the laughs and people around that I've, you know, played with and everything. It was really a good time, but unfortunately it's just a phase for me that's just kind of dwindled away.
Well, I guess that kind of happens when you've been playing something for so long.
Yeah, like, and as well, like...
Sorry.
I mean, yeah, also another thing as well, I think a big reason that you fell out of it as well is like, I can't remember when it started. I think it started with the season where they changed Hereford base. Ever since they've, instead of releasing new content around the board, like new guns with the new operators and a new map, they've changed things. So instead of releasing a new map, they've just changed one already in the game. They haven't added a new gun since when? Like, yeah, every now and then you get a new one, but they've never added new guns with the new operators. Like, they always recycle the guns. And I think ever since then, people that, like, even people that are really into it, like, people that would never get bored of it, have sort of gotten, like, there's nothing new. Yeah, you get the new operators, but they're using the same old guns, and there's none of that new creativity that you had in the old, like, in year one and year two. I think that's another reason why you've gotten tired of it so quickly. It's just all that innovation is gone.
Yeah.
It's still there, but it's nothing compared to what
just
it was.
Just in a different way.
Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed about that.
Yeah. Before we continue, let's actually go and do a quick little ad break, and then we'll come back with some more interesting talks on video games. And we are back. So, now I guess moving forward with Siege, I haven't really gone back into that game for a long ass time, but I did hear that they added like a new character, like this Splinter Cell motherfucker.
Yeah. Oh fuck. What's his? Sam Fisher. They added Sam Fisher.
Oh, they added him, like the actual guy.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
What's his ability?
He has he can shoot. He can shoot cameras through little cameras through reinforced walls.
Now, Q Whiskey getting back in the Siege.
I hope he does.
No, I can't.
You can't.
You can
5 seconds later.
It's Sam Fisher. He can throw, like, he shoots little cameras through, like, he can throw it basically any surface that's breakable. And, you know, it's like a little Valkyrie cam, and it has like a one-shot laser that you can, like, shoot at gadgets and stuff like that to break them and stuff.
Yeah.
Like
they're on their, what, fifth year?
Mm-hmm.
Of this game?
Coming up to fifth year, yeah.
Jesus.
Coming up to fifth year?
No, it's the
fifth
year.
I thought it was,
okay,
yeah, I thought it was year five.
No, it is year five. Next year, year six.
They already have a roadmap set for year six, or...
No, they usually show that in, like, on February.
Okay.
But didn't the game release, like, late 2015, and then year one was 2016?
They're on year five right now, I know that for a fact, because it's year five.
Oh, yeah, of course, fuck, yeah. Yeah, obviously, Jonathan, year one is 2016, year two, 2017. Fucking hell, I'm an idiot. No, continue.
They're still supposed to have one more season set before the year's over, and then they start back up on February.
Yeah. I remember when I was there, up in Canada, actually, they had stated that they are trying to stick to the promise of creating 100 operators by the end of their... They're past, what, 50 right now, I think?
They're a little bit above 50, almost at 60 right now, yeah.
I really hope that they make 100 operators. That would be sick.
They're gonna make it. From what they... The way Siege is going, they're gonna make it.
Yeah.
They're more than likely gonna make it.
They have to go through 8 years, though, because, first off, you know, we start off with 20 ops, which is, like, the base 20 operators in the game, without the DLCs and everything. And they, on average, add, like... What is it?
They're adding two every season, but now they're just released.
They need
one every season now.
They need to go through 10 years, I think, if they stick to, you know, 8 operators each year.
I mean, it's 8 operators every year, so.
Well, except for this year.
It's gonna be 4 operators every year now from now on.
So they're gonna have to do double. Like we're talking 12 to 15 years, of keeping this game alive.
I think they'll compensate for the lack of operators they've brought out now. Like, what they did back in year two, I think it was, where the one season, they Operation Health, they didn't release any new operators, but then the next two seasons, they released 3 operators instead of
two. Oh, yeah, no, it was, it was Vigil, Zofia, and Dokkaebi, and then the next one they did,
It was Ella, and then the next one, it was Dokkaebi... the fucking guy whose parents died in a river.
Vigil.
Vigil and...
Zofia.
Zofia, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think they'll just compensate for it.
I definitely feel like we need more maps in the game.
Yeah, I think we need new maps. Instead of just, like, changing the old ones.
I mean, I get the reworks and everything. I think it's very interesting. I don't know why the hell they would redo Chalet, because Chalet is one of my favorites.
Yeah, Chalet was perfect. There was nothing wrong with it.
It was broken competitively. It wasn't a really good map competitively, to be fair.
I'm just a big fan of the type of maps that, you know, you have one strategy that you stick to, and if that doesn't work, then you have another way that you have to go through. So, like, with Garage, like, that's a very vital point that you have to either hold or that you have to breach. And a big part of that is bandit tricking, for one. So, like, if you can bandit trick that garage perfectly, and they can't get through that, the attackers cannot get through that main garage, I'm talking about Snowmobile Garage, then they have to either go through the top, they have to go through behind and everything. But you can counter that with having Buck upstairs in the main living room, and then shooting the floor below, and then you can kill Bandit or chuck a nade down there while the attackers, you know, use a breach charge. And, you know, for defenders, you can have somebody sit upstairs or hiding around the living room area, maybe in kitchen, to back them up. And there's just all these things just happening at once. There's all these strategies that you kind of have to work around, or that you have to, you know, use certain operators to, you know, assist in winning or, you know, each round. You know, that's one of the biggest things about Rainbow Six Siege is that, you know, every operator, a lot like Overwatch, has their own specific role. They have their own unique set of skills and gadgets to get you through the match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is part of the reason why I actually enjoyed, this is going to be controversial, Skyscraper a lot. I remember people were hating it when it was in the ranked playlist, like when it was put into the draft. But I really enjoyed it because, like you said, there was one strategy that you stick to, and if that doesn't work, you go to the next one. Like, if they were playing a tea room and karaoke on bomb, you would break through, what's the room next to the karaoke? What was that
oh,
one?
Oh, that was,
the
hatch
in the middle.
Geisha, yeah.
Geisha. Yeah, Geisha. You break through the external wall at Geisha, and then you push through there. And it was such a simple, you know, I don't have time to think about, you know, like, oh, now that happened. There isn't
right.
I need to make my own strategy. I'm not smart enough for that. Fucking idiot. I want to stick to what I know works and what other people have tried and tested. I don't want to be creative. Fuck that. And that's why I enjoyed Skyscraper so much.
So what if there was somebody bandit tricking that wall, or like what if that entire wall just failed on you that you couldn't break it?
Dude, me and my friends had a foolproof plan for anyone stupid enough to bandit trick me and my thermite. Like, I was always thermite. And my friends, like, we would pick, like, I would either be thermite or Ivana, and I would have two of my friends, at least two of my friends, pick someone that can actually, you know, fuck up bandit stuff, like Thatcher. I think we would usually bring out Thatcher and Maverick just so that bandit can go fuck himself. Like everything would rely on me breaking that wall, so we would bring out as many people as we can so we could do that. So there was never an issue of bandit tricking. We always sorted that out.
Yeah.
I feel like...
I guess for some people, a lot of people, it's just mainly about the whole competitive thing. Like, it makes it more competitive when it's not just simple, oh, if this fails, let's just do this, or if that fails, then let's just do that. The more you have to think, and the more you have to, like, come up with stuff in the spot at the moment, and just the more spontaneous you have to be, the more competitive it is, because that way it doesn't become just kind of stale. It becomes more fun in the game, because it adds more like, I don't know, more, it's like the game's just more, I don't know, more spontaneous, and I guess, at least in a way, like, you don't know what's going to happen, because it's not as straightforward as, oh, just do this and that anymore. There's so many ways that people can beat you in the game or outsmart you. That is like, it's in that. That's what people want. So I guess that's why they've been mostly like, changing maps and stuff like that. Plus, they mostly listen to competitive. When it comes to making big game changing decisions, they mostly listen to their competitive players. Yeah, they listen to the community in like changes here and there, every so often. But when
give
it comes
Vigil
to big,
boss GA cog.
Yeah, but when it comes to the big changes, like big changes, they mainly listen to like their either PC or competitive players.
Doesn't that make sense though? Because like, I don't know, like the community is very very important, but at the same time, the competitive player has so much weight. Like their words have so much.
Yeah, they're making money.
Oh yeah,
you know?
they really do.
And they're the ones making the money, you know? They're the ones that bring up the tournaments. They're the ones that make people go to their tournaments and watch them. They want to have people, like, come to their games.
And, like, if they say something, the majority will just follow them.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's understandable, you know? So that's why I'm, like... Honestly, for me, most of the changes that they've done, like, I've liked them, not all of them. But that's because I'm just a little whore for Rainbow Six Siege, I guess.
Yeah.
But there's...
a good way to put it.
Yeah, I just love the game, you know. So it's like, I don't know. I just play it.
Oh, you know, just a hoe for Rainbow.
Yeah, I'm just a hoe for Rainbow.
I would be a simp for the game.
I simp for the game. Like, if anyone plays the game, you're instantly my best friend.
Yeah, like I would simp on it. Like I played it for a while, and I would have simped on it if I just could get my head around the way you aim in that game. I never could, like, with Modern Warfare, my aim is awesome in Modern Warfare. I can work with it, and the gunplay is amazing. But on Siege, when I'm aiming and shit in the game, I could never get used to it.
It feels anchored. Clunky to me.
Yeah, it feels weird. Like, I'm going to use the word clunky, but maybe it's good. I don't know, but it feels horrible to me. Mm-hmm. I can't aim well in that game. I'm not horrible, but I'm not good.
Should we start playing it again and get Uni into it, too? That way we can all just play together.
That would be fucking sick.
What do you think, Uni? Would you be down for that?
Next year we'll do it. Because I want to come back when they've added a lot more operators and shit.
What do you think, Uni? Would you be down for that?
Well, I don't know. I've never played it before.
Exactly.
I'll buy it for you.
We get you.
No!
Sugar Daddy James over here. I mean...
Shut the fuck up.
I mean, no, but like, you know, it would be fun. Like, you know, we can all just like, we can help you learn a bit, and we can like, all start playing together. Have like our own little squad and maybe like build our own little team. Mm-hmm. To play like games and stuff like that together. Because I mean, the game can be fun. It's just you need friends to play it with. Because if you don't have friends that are like positive and know how to like, they know when to take the game seriously and when to have fun with it, then it can be fun. It just depends on the kind of people you play with.
Yeah.
And on them with your aim, because the game can be frustrating sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
What is Rainbow Six Siege about, by the way?
Huh?
I don't know, the only shooter game I play is, like, probably Apex, somewhere of a...
Well, Rainbow Six
Siege is Skyrim
like,
kind of person.
Like, Rainbow Six Siege is just, like, basically, like, it's just, like you said, it's a shooter game. But it's a little bit more of a...
Very strategic.
Yeah, it's very strategic. It's a little bit more of a realistic take on shit. It's like,
mm-hmm.
There's three game modes. The one that's mainly played is Bomb. So, honestly, if I were you, I would just concentrate more on that one. And it's basically just, it's a 5-on-5. There's a defending team and there's an attacking team. The defending team, there's a starting phase, there's a preparation phase and there's an attacking phase. The preparation phase, which usually just lasts like 30 seconds to like a minute or so. It's just, it gives enough time for the operate to the attacking team, which they are like equipped with small drones, like little RC cars that have cameras on them, which you can drive into the building and stuff and scope out the area, see if what enemies or what operators are in the building, and see what traps or just stuff they've put in for to attack, to like defend against you. And then the defenders can just like reinforce the objective and just, you know, get set up strategically for whenever the enemy team starts coming in. So they can fend you off, basically. And each set of operators has their own abilities. They all have their own like abilities, they all have their own special purpose in the game, they all have like different speeds and set of like armor, so like how much damage they can take and how much damage they can deal. And yeah, that's pretty much it. And like the whole point is just go, if you're an attacker, basically the whole point is going into the building, and if you're able to take out everyone, then maybe take out everyone in the enemy team or plant.
Okay, go in there, kill everything, it's fine.
Yeah, either kill everyone or just go into the objective and plant the bomb. And then if you're able to plant the bomb, just like wait for the timer to run out and boom, you win. Or if you're in the defending team, just kill everyone in the enemy team if possible. And if the enemy team ends up happening to like plant a diffuser, kill everyone before the timer runs out so you can defuse it in peace, or just have a teammate protecting you while you defuse the bomb so you're able to win the round.
Yeah.
It's pretty cut and dry. It's like the only like complicated part, but it's just like the whole strategic part of it. Like they said, it's a very team-based game. You have to work close with your teammates. You have to have good communication. And yeah, it's a very strategic game. I guess that's what I kind of like about it, because you strategize a lot. It makes you like kind of think a bit. Not really all the time, because a lot of times you can just, you know, just not care and just be...
Just YOLO it.
Yeah, just running to the building, just going for gunning for kills because you want to just practice aim or whatever in casual or something. But most of the time, if you're wanting to play serious or you're trying to win, you have to like talk to your team, be like, hey, there's someone over here, there's someone over there, let's do this, let's do that, and just work together to get the round done.
Yeah. For a moment, I want to do like a little shout out to all the people that I've met on Siege and all the people that that I really enjoy playing with and my time of playing that game. Some of the main people, my first ever PlayStation friend, Alexander Snow 23, my old buds Dane, Dallas, the fucking terrorist, by the way, little inside joke, Smelly Joe, he's a good fucking guy, he's a good leader, and go for ESL tournaments, Mikey4GTA, how's it going, Mikey?
Hello.
Oh, who else? Captain Mitchell. Mitchell, he was a really good, also Spanish-speaking motherfucker. How's it going in Florida? Hi, buddy. Damn, who else? Braden Fogelman. I actually bought him, like, a $20 PlayStation card on his birthday, or maybe it was Christmas. I'm not sure. And then there's Meme Machine. He was the person we looked up to the most when we were first starting Rainbow Six Siege, because he was platinum, and all of us were just fucking nerds, so we always looked up to him for a lot of stuff. And I mean, there's a whole mess of people that I can't even remember the names of, but those are just the ones that stand out. So thank you all so much for giving me, like, the best time in Siege. It was really memorable, and I wish maybe in the future, to the end of its time, when it's almost done, that I might make a comeback as maybe a Monty main in the future. But
next year.
Overall, thank you guys so much for giving me, like, a good community in Rainbow Six Siege, because that was mainly the game that I strived off of. But yeah, other than that, that's Siege for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that was nice, dude.
Amazing game. It's an amazing game, dude. The game is toxic as fuck. Like, that's a very toxic community. It's not a game where you can, like... I mean, you can get lucky and maybe find a couple of nice people in there. But it's not a game that is, honestly, all the time recommended to just go on your own and go into game chat, because people can be really toxic. And it's kind of funny, because people can be hypocritical. And they're like, wow, you're dog shit, because you didn't clutch the round yet. They died like a whole 2 minutes before you did, and you're still alive. And they're like, man, you're dog shit. You died before me, so how am I dog shit? Wolf, wolf.
Oh, and one more guy. Gavin. Loading God, R6. I remember, I didn't forget your name. I'm just going to throw that in there for you. And by the way, you're never going to become president. It's also another inside joke.
Jesus Christ.
But we can continue.
What a way to just break a man's dreams like that.
I know, right?
I bet that man my entire life savings if in the future he becomes president and he's, I guess he's trying.
Would there really be a difference? We have Trump right now. It would be an improvement. Well, y'all have Trump right now. We're just stuck next to you. Oh my goodness.
Other than that, what else are we talking about?
I don't know, but I just got, like, I just killed a full team by myself in Apex right now.
Dang. Playing Apex while we're podcasting, bro.
Yeah. It's... I feel fidgety when I'm not doing anything.
Be like that. I guess maybe in that note we can end the podcast right there.
No, hang on. We got a minute and 27 seconds.
Okay, say something stupid for a monster. Monster.
Rainbow Six Siege has thick woman.
Monster, go restart your
monster.
Go restart your rooster.
Thick thighs save lives.
Go restart your rooster.
Okay, I'll restart the rooster. But yeah, Rainbow Six Siege. If all of that James is talking about doesn't make you want to play, it also has big, thick-ass bitches in it. That could also
make
the game.
It really does. It really does, bro. It makes you want
to. You don't even have to play the game to enjoy it. That is how good it is.
It's just visually pleasing to watch the characters model.
Okay, that's it. Sold.
Exactly.
Yeah, somebody's already pre-ordering it, or not pre-ordering. Somebody's already buying it.
We're gonna get sponsored by Ubisoft. If we get sponsored by Ubisoft to play Ubisoft.
Yeah, so let's get sponsored by a company that downgrades the majority of their fucking games on graphics.
It'll be okay, you know. It should happen sometimes, you know. You downgraded your life, James, at one point, so you're taking.
Wow.
You're downgrading your game, right?
I'm fucking hurt, dude.
it's okay, you know, if it's fine.
Yeah, you just downgraded. It's fine.
The lumberjack beard will come back at some day, at some point in life.
Oh, well.
Hey, James has a good beard. Don't talk shit about James's beard.
I'm trying to grow it out. I want to be like fucking. No, I trimmed it. I did not shave it. I trimmed
it
a little bit.
Exactly.
You
hurted it already.
It looks a bit cleaner, okay? Right now, I'm trying to go for the Duck Dynasty look now.
Don't touch it, bro. You're supposed to look like James Harden.
When I say someone has a good beard, they have a good beard.
Monster, haven't you grown a beard yet?
I have a beard.
Haven't you seen my beard? I remember you talked about my beard once.
I thought you shaved.
I don't think we've ever seen a picture of you.
No, I've seen a picture.
No, like, yeah, Uni definitely has. Mikey hasn't.
Post it in the Discord. Yet. Right now.
On the Discord. I'll post it to you personally. I'm not gonna fucking post it on the Discord.
What, from, like, PlayStation messages?
Let us see your sexy
I'll send it to you on PlayStation.
Do it now.
You don't want us to see your sexy face.
I'll review your face.
James, you had a minute and 27.
He has majestic hair. I'm not gonna lie.
No, I wanna review his face. Give me a minute.
How much longer do we have
on the
podcast?
On the podcast. This is a live review, guys.
Yeah, I wanna do this review.
Why?
My heart is beating.
Make sure you're respecting No Simp September. PewDiePie will be sad if you don't.
No Simp September.
Oh my god.
Bro,
do you
still
remember the day when he said the N-word?
Yeah.
No, it was PogChamp.
It was.
I don't know.
It's always PogChamp or fucking Poggers with you.
Mm-hmm. It is. I started that.
You did not start that at all. I was saying it way before you were born. Maybe before your mother thought about fucking your father, I was saying
Monster,
that.
Monster, I'm
Mikey
older
than
you.
Don't trade on my ground.
Yeah, I'm older than you.
Send a picture, Monster.
I'm like 30 years old.
That's bullshit.
Oh, shit. You look fucking Muslim as hell, dude.
He's a Muslim.
Damn. Yeah, I remember this picture now. I've seen you. With your fucking little off-brand Nokia looking motherfucker.
Off-brand Nokia.
Don't talk shit about the phone. You can talk shit about my face, but you can't talk shit about the phone.
What do you get, like, fucking 2G out there?
Hmm?
With cellular connection?
Doesn't have mobile data. Just has gallery and calculator. That's all it has.
Damn. Well, I guess with that, this is a wrap for today's episode. I really apologize for not posting last week's episode, but we're going to get back into the swing of things
James
really
got
quickly.
Heartbroken.
Shut up. We're going to get back into the swing of things starting now. So podcast every Sunday. Maybe we might switch to Monday. I'm not sure. It just depends on how everyone's schedule is. But thank you all so much for listening, and we will see you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.